Like that time that we all had to watch the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones movie.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are taking a look at all the new series coming out on Disney Plus for Marvel and Star Wars, as well as a few other things and movies, and holy shit, there's a lot of stuff coming out.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Thwip, 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 thwip.
And Molly Glover.
Cheers.
And we are going to talk about a bunch of Disney's announcements from their shareholder meeting.
Three-hour shareholder meeting.
It was basically a pep rally for their investors.
It was.
Just to get everyone super psyched about how much money they're going to make.
I understood that reference.
Yeah.
Despite going to private school.
So we're going to kind of start with Marvel stuff and then make our way to Star Wars stuff, since that's the bulk of it. But there was a lot. And there was a lot of a few trailers, but a lot of dates and titles is kind of what we saw the most of. So we already kind of knew about WandaVision, The Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki.
Can I just say, I'm so excited for WandaVision. I had a coworker who was like, what is it even about? I'm like, I don't know the ins and outs, but all I know is in the comics, Scarlet Witch has reality-bending magic that can literally change reality. And Vision is dead. And she's obviously super broken up about it. So I think we're going to see her reality-bending powers make Vision alive again. We might get magic twin babies. I don't know.
In the trailers, they've been showing like a crib.
Yeah.
Cribs, plural, and her holding babies. And
in the comic, she manifests two twin boys because she wants children so badly that she just makes them happen.
Who end up becoming...
And they are mutants, Wiccan and Speed.
Yeah, they end up becoming... founding members of the Young Avengers.
It's very exciting.
Wiccan is one of Marvel's queer characters, first more prominent ones.
I just think it looks so cool. I know we don't know what it's going to be yet, but I think it looks so cool.
So we do know that it's going to tie into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And from what we've heard about other stuff that we'll talk about later, it definitely seems like Marvel is going along with kind of a multiverse theme for their next phases coming up. Mm-hmm. Maybe alternate timeline stuff. But WandaVision is January. That's just in a couple weeks, January 15th. Falcon is
March.
Oh
my God, January 15th is in a couple weeks.
I know.
By the time this episode goes up, boy, it might just be a week away. It's going to be like it's going to be like an episode we'll record next.
Oh my gosh.
And then Loki is in May, and the Loki trailer they showed off has him being apprehended by this like bureaucratic agency of time manipulation from the Marvel comics, and it seems to imply that Loki is D.B. Cooper.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome. So the next stuff that they kind of talked about were Hawkeye, which I don't think people understand how amazing Hawkeye is going to be, because he's the joke guy with the bow and arrow, and he's not as big of a deal in the movies. But it seems like they are borrowing heavily from Matt Fraction and David Aja's legendary award-winning run of Hawkeye. They've already shown that Haley Stanfield is Kate Bishop, the new Hawkeye.
Which is dope, because Kate Bishop is such a good, just a strong character.
Yeah.
And
she keeps him in check big time.
Yeah.
They've shown Pizza Dog, which is a dog that Hawkeye kind of adopts as a sort of sidekick mascot guy.
He finds him eating pizza, right?
He offers him pizza.
That's how he wins him, wins his affections over. Just like Tim. You just offer Tim a slice of pizza and he'll be your dog.
This is all true.
A really cool...
That's how this podcast started.
...character from kind of more from Daredevil, Echo is been shown in the some of the people taking pictures of them shooting on the street, and Echo is played by Alakwa Cox, who is a deaf Native American actor.
And Echo is deaf. Echo's deaf. Yeah.
So one of the issues of this run of comics by Fraction and Aja, an issue won an Eisner because the entire issue is drawn in ASL.
Which is
difficult because ASL relies on hand motions, not just hand signs. So the gestures are actually animated in a somewhat iconographic way. And I anticipate that we'll get an episode of Hawkeye that will be featuring a lot of ASL.
That would be really cool. That would be so cool.
Yeah. What If is next summer, which is an animated... Have you looked at that? Did you see the trailer for that one,
Tim? I didn't. You know, I didn't watch the trailer. But What If is like a comic series that I read a lot growing up in the 70s and 80s. It's generally darker than the regular Marvel titles because they can make things go in really, really awful directions. But that's not what happened. So we're all good. Aren't you glad that this bad thing happened? Because if this bad thing hadn't happened, it would have been so much worse. It was like there was a really good one that was What If Jean Grey had not killed herself?
Yeah.
And the result is the entire universe is destroyed.
Yeah, the one I loved was the title was What If the Phoenix Rose Again? Mm-hmm. And it was like, what happens if the Phoenix Force like came back and I don't remember who it. Yeah. Also, like that was all the like, man, there were so many good covers from What If. Just crazy.
My favorite What If was What If Jessica Jones had joined the Avengers when she was offered a spot.
That was a good one.
She ends up becoming the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a super fucking badass. It's great.
Yeah, it looks like...
Yeah, I mean, some of them are good endings. You're like, damn, why didn't that happen, you assholes? But
so one of the stories they've shown that we can expect from What If, in addition to Marvel Zombies, which was a kind of an alternate world multiverse thing, is What If Agent Carter is the one who got the super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers. Which is going to be dope. They have all the same MCU voice actors playing all their characters, but it's animated.
Yeah.
The Peggy Carter stuff looks so good. And like, I just, man, they're all animated.
All the What Ifs.
All of the What Ifs, which I think is such a cool choice because like, it would have been, you know, they've got, I can't imagine these Marvel contracts aren't pretty ironclad. I think they probably would have been able to get anybody back.
Right.
You know, for any of the shows, but like going animated is a way to make it, I wonder if it's going to be as dark, like you're saying, Tim. You know,
I think some of it might be. Things,
Zombies is dark.
Yeah,
like it's a dark story. It's fucked up. Everybody dies, basically.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
God damn it, Nick.
So they are introducing in Disney Plus. So we already kind of knew about She-Hulk and Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And so we know Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black is playing Jennifer Walters, who is Bruce Banner's cousin, who through a blood transfusion ends up, you know, Hulkish. But Mark Ruffalo is going to be in that show as well.
That's cool.
And they're saying it's going to be 30-minute legal drama comedy, which is exactly what I've wanted, because all I've wanted is them to basically do like an Ally McBeal type legal comedy, because that was Peter David's run of those comics and it was magnificent.
Ally McBeal with a green woman.
Right? No, but she's so dope. I really hope they do the thing where she's always green and not where she changes only to green when she's a Hulk, because there's difference. Mm-hmm. It depends on the run. At first she was like Bruce Banner, she was a regular white lady, you know, like, and then a green lady when she was the Hulk. But then in certain later runs, she just is green all the time, which makes for a totally different experience because, you know, and one thing that's a little interesting. So Jennifer Walters is supposed to be like 6 feet tall normally.
Yeah.
And then she gets even bigger. And Tatiana Maslany is not that tall.
She's a slight little frame,
but I think that she's got such a big personality that she'll be able to play it off well. I'm really interested to see what they do with that. Jennifer Walters is one of my favorite Marvel women characters, just because she's, you know, her whole thing is like, you know, the whole thing with Bruce Banner, you know, the, oh, that's my secret, I'm always angry or whatever. Like, she has just as much problem with uncontrolled rage as he does. And like giving into it and almost hating herself more because she should be better than Bruce, because Bruce, it was an accident. And like, it was, she should be able to learn from him. Like, and so there's all this really good, like socio-political stuff about like being a woman with rage problems versus being a man with rage problems that I think they could really dig into. Maybe not in a comedy, but
yeah, I don't know about a courtroom comedy.
There's some good underlying things they could get into there.
So in between that and Echo being in Hawkeye, there have been a lot of rumors about Charlie Cox coming back as Daredevil in the MCU, and these are both great opportunities to bring him back.
Daredevil.
So Moon Knight is Oscar Isaac, and one of the things they've said about it is that he is Kevin Feige said that he's a very complicated character when it comes to mental health, and we'll be using that as a theme throughout the show, which is great, because in the comics, Mark Spector has MPD, multiple personality disorder.
Or does he?
Or maybe it's all magic.
Either he has MPD or he actually is possessed by the ancient Egyptian ghost that gives him multiple personalities.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you never really know. You know that there is a being because the audience see him communicate with it. But like, yeah, Moon Knight having different personalities is something that's going to be really interesting. They did it well in Doom Patrol with Crazy Jane. And so I think that there's definitely ways to do it.
There's hope for them to pull it off well. So there's also for Disney Plus for Marvel.
This is just like a full barrage of you just naming things.
I know, it's crazy.
Iron Heart, which is Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams, who is basically like Tony Stark's protege. She is a young genius who makes her own suit of armor, Iron Heart, and she is a hero. There's Armor Wars with Don Cheadle, which is interesting that they're doing that without Tony Stark, but the premise is essentially Tony Stark's greatest fear comes true and his armor technology starts becoming available to villains. And so it's going to be War Machine stopping that or hunting it down.
Mm-hmm.
Super exciting that Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn will be back for Secret Invasion as a Disney Plus series. And it's interesting that they're not doing that as a huge event or as like an entire phase.
Who's Ben Mendelsohn play?
The Skrull, the lead Skrull.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's like Secret Invasion with theoretically good Skrulls and maybe bad Skrulls,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
That could be really good. I love Secret Invasion. It's my favorite storyline, in terms of like a cross-book storyline. As soon as they started doing Skrull shape-shifting in those Avengers movies, I was like,
But I mean, Captain Marvel did a lot of Captain Marvel threw a lot of curves as far as who the Skrulls are and what the Skrulls are.
Yeah, I like the fact that
which means
good
that.
Bad.
Well, no, I think it's great. It's just I think that you know, it's going to be a pretty big leap from what they did in the comics, just because they've already done some pretty major adjustments to the Skrull as a species.
Yeah. They're not all bad guys.
They did establish in Captain Marvel that there's like a sect that's, you know, super, you know, going after other Skrulls and stuff, didn't they? Didn't they talk about there being like an evil?
So.
They
no.
didn't?
But that is
Oh, I'm thinking of the Kree. I'm thinking of the Kree with Ronan the Accuser and the other Kree.
But speaking of Captain Marvel, they're doing a Miss Marvel show with Kamala Khan, the first like Pakistani Muslim Marvel character. And that character will be appearing in Captain Marvel 2. We don't know to what extent or how, but that's a late 2021 show too. So that's even like pretty damn soon for how recently they announced it.
Yeah, I mean, 2021 is pretty loaded in terms of the amount of stuff that's coming out on Disney Plus, which, you know, about fucking time.
If you want your Kamala Khan fix earlier, may I suggest getting the Ms. Marvel Hero Pack from Marvel the Champions, the board, the card game. Actually, it's a really sweet pack. I was really happy that we did her as like our second playable hero out of the core set, because I thought it was super important, not just for like representation, but also like because she is the future. She's like a newer comic. Yeah. She's, you know, and she's got some really cool, hilarious, you know, quotes in there.
In the comic, she's an Inhuman, so I'm excited to see how they go with that in the movies.
Yeah.
So while they shoot the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is James Gunn again back, they're also shooting a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
I know.
2 years from now, in 2022, we'll get a holiday special.
Like, I don't like Chris Pratt anymore, but can I just say I'm very excited to see that? Because I do still like Star-Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
But that actor's unfortunately kind of ruined. And they're going to do they said some or a bunch of I Am Groot short films for Disney Plus. And we don't know what that means yet, but I mean, I think we can guess what half the dialogue is going to be.
At least half. At least half.
Do you think we'll get to see more Groots?
Other of
like
his species,
back to his
other
planet?
Cool.
And they said that it's baby Groot, so it's
yeah, like I could
back
see
to really... back to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Interesting.
Baby Groot.
Like baby or like my favorite, which is Salty Teen Groot.
Salty Teen Groot is great.
Because like super sarcastic, like with his leg dangling over the chair, playing his game
Groot.
Play, like not listening to anybody. Groot
he even says I am Groot in like, a snotty teenager sarcastic
way.
Like,
it's so funny.
So that's kind of the Disney Plus side of Marvel, which is huge. And just
those
like,
are just shows.
That's just next year and 2022, basically, and then a few things beyond that, but a lot in the next year or two. Then for movies, so they kind of had to acknowledge the death of Chadwick Boseman because they're still planning to do Black Panther 2 for 2022, and they've said that they're not recasting T'Challa. They're not going to have someone else play that character. That character was Chadwick Boseman's character. Ryan Coogler is still directing the sequel. And they have kind of said that they're not going to give the mantle of Black Panther to someone else necessarily.
Okay.
But I think it's pretty safe to assume that, like, Shuri and a lot of other really strong characters in the original movie are probably going to carry...
Somehow. They'll return, but if they're not going to give the mantle away, there might be a reason for it. Maybe they're setting it up for something else.
And I don't necessarily believe that they're not going to give the mantle away because Shuri was Black Panther in the comics for a while, and she was a damn good Black Panther.
They might they might be saying that at a shareholders meeting just because the actress who plays Shuri has kind of gotten in a little bit of unfortunate political water where she shared a video from an anti-vax doctor who also holds a lot of transphobic views and like is just getting
dragged. But the actress didn't share anything
She didn't share anything transphobic. She just shared the thing that was like, we should question what's in vaccines and like, is the vaccine safe? And so it was a little, she got kind of, we've had episodes about where cancel culture can actually be victimizing in a way. And to some degree, I think she got a little bit of the bad end of cancel culture where people were just automatically saying, the actress who plays Shuri is transphobic.
Right, which is going too far.
Like, that's terrible. I'm done. And like, it was just like, it really got out of control. So I could see them at a shareholders meeting.
Yeah.
Specifically like, oh, we're not going to pass the mantle on, even if they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as 2021 for movies, we'll finally get to see Black Widow.
Sweet.
That's very cool.
And we know that Black Widow ties into Falcon and Winter Soldier to some degree. And it seems pretty likely that, the actress from Midsommar who plays the other Black Widow is probably going to be our new Black Widow in other properties going forward.
Oh, the one who plays...
the protagonist.
Yelena?
Yeah. And then,
I mean, it seems pretty clear that they're going to have to figure out a way to pass the baton since, you know, one of them is dead.
We'll 2021, the other one we'll get, which I think there hasn't been a lot about, unfortunately, But Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah, I know. We don't even have a
real Mandarin.
We don't even have a trailer yet. We don't know.
But it's due in July.
I know. Like, and we don't, but we don't know anything about it. We really know nothing about that movie.
I mean, they must have already filmed it, right?
And there's a lot of cast information, and we know like a good handful of characters. But the thing about Shang-Chi is, like, right off the bat, most audiences aren't familiar with the character. And essentially he is, you know, like Marvel's martial arts master guy. But I think it's great that we're going to get a real Mandarin, like the real Ten Rings that was kind of copied for Iron Man. And I'm really excited to see like Marvel do a martial arts action movie rather than just like a straight up superhero action movie.
Yeah. And honestly, like, because Iron Fist was so rough. And like, I think it might be able to get them to kind of win people's hearts back about their ability to do martial arts.
Like in the comics, there's a good bit of overlap between the
I wonder if we'll see Danny Rand at all in this show.
We can hope not.
Who cares? So the two things that they gave us information about that I'm kind of most excited about are Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which Peyton Reed directing again. And it's got, you know, Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, and Michelle Pfeiffer all back. Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country is playing Kang the Conqueror.
That's Tick.
I know. That's sweet.
He's such a good choice for Kang.
So for people that don't know, Kang the Conqueror is a time-traveling Avengers, Fantastic Four, and just everywhere villain who has throughout time in comics appeared as a number of other characters. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely possible he could be in multiple movies as multiple versions of Kang throughout time.
And he can look different.
And he can look very different. Yeah. And a cool thing about Jonathan Majors being cast is that some of the Kang shit is kind of like problematic for a white person to play.
Oh, totally. Like, he's a pharaoh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So, but another cool thing about Ant-Man and the Wasp is that Catherine Newton, who was the lead in the movie Freaky.
Yeah.
And she was in, like, Supernatural and some other stuff. She is the new actor playing Cassie Lang, Ant-Man's daughter.
So they're going to do Stature?
So in the comics, she becomes Stature, a size changing because of her proximity to her father. She's been exposed to Pym particles throughout her life in puberty, and eventually she gets some size changing powers where she can get big, and so she becomes Stature, and she is one of the founding members again of the Young Avengers.
So
seeing the Young Avengers over and over and over through all these announcements.
Scarlet Witch's twins are Young Avengers. Kate Bishop is Young Avengers. Yep. And then Cassie Lang is Young Avengers.
And then
that's
also
very exciting.
In Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is March 2022, we're also going to get America Chavez, also known as Miss America, playing by Xochitl Gomez, who is a dimension hopping Young Avenger, not a founding member, but one of the best from
America. Kieran. Yes.
Yeah. And so that's going to tie into WandaVision, but also it's going to tie into Spider-Man 3.
Oh, how so?
In that it is a multiverse type thing. And that is a theme that's going to carry into Spider-Man 3. Cumberbatch as Strange will be in Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man has done some multiverse stuff. And Strange know each other pretty well.
Into the Spider-Verse has clearly, like, they saw that as a success, and they're like, well, we can get... They've already talked about
that as a success,
like, the actor that played Doc Ock in the Raimi Spider-Man films is coming back. Tobey Maguire is coming back in some capacity.
Oh, like, my God, please, like, let him be the schlubby Peter Parker from the Marvel Universe, or he's all washed up.
All these different actors who have played Spider-Man characters through the last several incarnations of Spider-Man movies. Dope. And that's John Watts again directing. We don't have a title, but
John Waters?
John Watts.
Watts, not John Waters. Yeah.
John
Waters film would be very different. Very different.
I would love to watch his Marvel movie.
I'd watch it.
No, but there was someone. I'm getting it confused with another movie he's going to talk about. Yeah. I know.
Everyone would have pencil mustaches in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
We know that Captain Marvel 2 will have Polaris or the other Captain Marvel, who we saw in the original Captain Marvel as a young girl, which is great. Her pilot buddy's daughter.
That's Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau,
who is Spectrum.
Right.
When she's got a thing, so that's exciting.
Yeah, she's had a couple different names, including Captain Marvel, and
I'm pretty sure didn't they announce they're doing it like a Spectrum thing?
I don't think so.
No,
but it's entirely possible. I know she's going to appear in something else too.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And it might be Miss Marvel.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the. Never mind. If I think of it, I'll say.
So Thor for Love and Thunder, we already kind of know a bunch about that as far as like Jane Foster as Thor. We'll get Natalie Portman playing Thor for the woman Thor again. But the big casting announcement was Christian Bale is going to play Gore the God Butcher. Jane Foster as Thor and Gore the God Butcher are both from the same run of Thor comics by Jason Aaron, which are really good. And Gore the God Butcher is essentially like a downtrodden peasant type guy who's the gods didn't answer his prayers in the Nine Realms. And so he decides to, you know, just kill all of the gods.
He's like the killer of all saints.
Saint of all killers.
He's like going to go kill God.
Yep.
Like, yep. Yep. Get my revenge on God. Yeah.
And then their super big announcement, which is way off in the future for Marvel movies that we don't know anything about except for the director, is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Marvel's first family is coming back, and that's the same director as Spider-Man movies,
John Watts. I actually got confused when we heard it because I thought it was John Waters and was very confused. So now I understand why I got it. Yeah.
So
I'm just saying the good thing about that is there is a lot of crossover between Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four as well. So when you have the same director, well, maybe we get a little bit of Spider-Man action going on in the Fantastic Four.
Spider-Man and She-Hulk canonically have been members of the Fantastic Four.
And they also have had a lot of things. One of my favorites, so we have got this Spider-Man quote in the She-Hulk cards for the Marvel card game. That's him saying to her, I get myself out of a lot of tricky situations, but I've never seen anybody argue their way out of a situation before, because she's such a good lawyer that she can like lawyer herself out of things. Because one of the things about She-Hulk is she retains her intelligence when she goes Hulk.
Right.
So she's not a mindless creature. She actually she knows exactly what she's doing.
The Banner Hulk we see more most recently, but from the go.
It's very cool.
So
imagine a Hulk who can also lawyer you out of things.
Yeah, right?
And then beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Puny God.
So good.
So we're looking at like 13 or 14 Disney Plus shows.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Or shorts. And then
and that's just Marvel. That was just Marvel.
That's just Marvel.
And then like 9 or 10 movies. Those movies are all with the exception of Fantastic Four, 2021 or 2022, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, Eternals. We didn't talk about Eternals.
Oh yeah.
But that's another one that like should have been out by now, and we haven't even seen a trailer for.
Like Black Widow.
Just super jacked pictures of Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani.
Fucking ripped as hell with cum gutters and everything. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
anyway.
If you want to, you got to watch Silicon Valley before you see the Eternals, just so you can understand the difference between this dude who plays like kind of a schlubby, really self-conscious, kind of the asshole nerd, the nerd that tears other people down so he can feel better about himself. And then compared to this quite literal god of physical, it's just so amazing.
Apparently I can't remember the pro wrestler, the guy who plays Drax.
Yeah, Batista.
Oh. Dave Bautista. So those two were in that movie together, Stuber. So apparently they had like a bonding moment in that movie, and they became buddies, and they became workout buddies.
Awesome.
And so part of his routine getting jacked for Eternals was going to the gym with Bautista, the fucking ex-pro wrestler, like side by side on the bench.
Yeah. It's great. I don't know, maybe you haven't seen the picture, but you have seen Letterkenny, and you're wondering, is he shredded or is he jacked? He's jacked. He's not shredded. He's jacked.
So Star Wars.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That shit.
That wasn't all they I mean, 3 hours, and it wasn't just about Marvel. There was other stuff that they talked about as well.
So, Tim, did you watch the Disney Gallery stuff on the first season of The Mandalorian?
No,
it's
not yet.
The behind the scenes?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Super dope. It's basically you're watching a bunch of Star Wars geeks who happen to be directing and writing Star Wars shows talk about how they did that and why they're nerds. So the right off the bat, the first thing we're going to get is more of that on Christmas. Mm-hmm. We get like this, the second season Mandalorian for that. And we'll get Bad Batch.
Bad Batch. Okay, so if you watched the last season of Clone Wars, like that they did, which was the final season. Yeah. The Bad Batch were the clones that, like, they didn't, they were trying to make them different. So they're giving them each their own thing, but they're all like this one's the specs guy. He knows all the tech stuff. And this one's the aggressive one.
I think the tech guy's name is literally Tech.
I think it's just Tech. It's really like,
well, they're clones. They don't get clever names.
I know. Fair and enough. Like Bad Batch feels very much for kids. Yeah. I think that's the one I'm going to give a miss.
But it is Filoni.
I know, but I just don't give a fuck. I don't know, man.
And it is set right after Order 66, which you haven't seen a ton of as far as filling in those gaps. Tim, did you watch Clone Wars?
No. I haven't watched either of them, and it's just not. I don't have a good excuse. I just haven't. No. You know?
So, there are some really good viewing guides for Clone Wars where you can watch all the episodes that pertain to the long plot and then fan favorite episodes along the way and cut out a bunch all of the like standalone, like more kid oriented stuff. So we get Bad Batch in 2021. And then Tim, you finished Mandalorian?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
I
know. We talked about it last week.
So you saw what they announced at the end of that.
I saw what they announced at the end of that. I did indeed. So that's coming up. Boba Fett. I'm forgetting the title of it right after it's
The Book of Boba Fett.
The Book of Boba Fett, which, I mean, dang. I talked about it in the Mandalorian episode. What they do with Boba Fett in season two of The Mandalorian makes me super intrigued to see a full series with Boba Fett, because Boba Fett was not a very complicated character, no matter what friend of the show Jason Stomberg may have believed, leading up to
fuck you,
Jeremy Stomberg, whatever. Who gives a shit? Jason Stomberg.
I will say, Boba Fett was always like almost like this like weird. I'm not using the word fetish sexually here, but like fetish. Yeah, he was like kind of fetishized in the sense that he was like this rando character that like people just glommed onto.
Ah, he's so cool,
right?
It's like, no, he's not anything.
Like, do you think it would have happened if it had been the Trask, you know, Bosk or whatever, right? Bosk, the Trandoshan Bosk, who went after the Sarlacc and ended up in the pit. Like, was it just going to be whoever ended up in the Sarlacc pit that got people excited? I don't know.
It's the never seeing his face.
Yeah.
The mystique of the Mandalorian.
No disintegrations.
And it's dope that Ming-Na Wen didn't die as Fennec. Like, she's great. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's a good duo to build a series around.
Yeah, it's produced by Favreau, Dave Filoni, and Robert Rodriguez, who directed the episode that kind of reintroduced Boba Fett, which is dope. Mm-hmm. What a good fit. We're going to get more Mandalorian.
Yeah,
I know that's surprising to everyone, but we're going to get a third season of Mandalorian, and I'm kind of honestly excited for more of that show without Grogu.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll be good to see where the Mandalorian goes without
that
quest. I mean, it was a good storyline. I'm not upset about it, but I'm glad that it doesn't become the entire series.
It's Wolf and Cub. It can only last so long.
Right. Yeah,
you know, Tim, what from the Star Wars stuff has you like the most rock hard? Like, what are you the most excited about?
Well, I mean, I really should say Ahsoka because that looks cool as shit. But let's be fair, it's the Lando series.
Yeah.
It's just like, anything that involves Lando Calrissian. And I know they haven't announced anything like who's going to play Lando. Like, are they bringing back Donald Glover? Or maybe they'll have old and young Lando Calrissian, kind of like the young Indiana Jones Chronicles or some shit like that. But that'd be okay. But I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. Other than they're making a Lando series, and I'm in for it. I'm in 100% for a Lando series.
I want to see pansexual fashion plate Lando Calrissian making his way across the galaxy.
Fucking his way across the galaxy.
I want Donald Glover. Yeah. Like, his rhythms.
Everybody wants Donald Glover.
God.
Both of those series are limited series.
Yep. What's the Ahsoka series?
Ahsoka is it's live action. Ahsoka.
With Rosario Dawson.
There's no date or anything yet. It's Rosario Dawson. And it's going to feature the live-action debut of Thrawn.
Do you guys think it's going to be like Ahsoka between the end of Rebels or whatever, leading up to Mandalorian? Like what she does when she's on her own in that time?
I think it's going to be after Mando.
Yeah. I think it probably starts immediately following... pretty close to immediately following the episode she's in The Mandalorian. That would be my take.
What's interesting about that is because like the last time we see her involved with Thrawn and stuff is like 20 years earlier.
In Rebels,
which is before A New Hope. Yeah. So then all the shit of the original trilogy happens, and then it's like whatever, how many of the years they say, like 5-6 years until The Mandalorian, and then it's going to start. So like that means if Thrawn's in it, that means that Thrawn has been somehow either chasing her or is like they circumstance come together. I don't know, man. So it could be cool.
I think we're past the spoiler moratorium for Rebels, but that ends with Thrawn and Ezra Bridger going light speed to without a course plotted.
Yeah, like into the land of wind and ghosts.
They go to the fucking, west side of the galaxy and who knows where.
What could be really cool is if, like, for him, it's been like a blip.
Oh, sure.
But for her, it's been these, like,
years.
15, 16, 18, however long years. And there's been this entire fucking galactic war. And there's been this, like, New Republic and all the other things. And then Thrawn is just back and he's like, baby, what are we doing?
A part of the reason she's going after Thrawn, we believe, is to find Ezra Bridger. And that was a hunt she started on with Sabine Wren, who was a young Mandalorian from Rebels.
Yep.
So we could see live action Sabine Wren.
Could
see live action Ezra Bridger, which is another Jedi during this time period.
If they have Sabine Wren, too, they could be bringing back Bo-Katan from Mandalorian Season 2, because she's heavily involved with the Sabine, because Sabine's a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
She's actually, like, of the royal house of Wren. She's a Disney princess for all intents and purposes.
I suppose. I think one of the things I'm least excited about is Rangers of the New Republic.
What's Rangers of the New Republic? Did you hear about that, Tim?
Yeah, I read a little bit about it. It's set in the far past.
Oh, isn't it? No.
Or is that the one that's in the? No,
that's one of the Mando spinoffs.
Okay.
What's Rangers of the New Republic? I don't think I heard about that one.
It's the Cara Dune show.
So it's like her and her cops, basically.
Yeah, right. Space cops. We don't know. But the Rangers were like the X-Wings that we saw in Mando.
The ones that pulled him over.
Yeah.
And we're like, what are you doing here? Where are you going?
Yeah. And all we know about it is that Cara Dune is attached. And honestly, like, even without that,
Gina
Carano
is attached.
Right. I'm not super...
Nah.
Whatever.
I don't know. But I'll watch it anyway because Star Wars.
Yeah.
Actually, the other one, and I know we're kind of running tight on time, but there's another one that super has me jazzed, which is Star Wars Visions. It's Visions, right? Yeah. It's basically a bunch of shorts by well-known anime directors. If you ever saw the Animatrix, which frankly I think is by far the second best Matrix movie. It's like super cool to watch these different directors go into the world of the Matrix and come up with their own standalone stories. So it's going to be the same kind of thing, except for it's going to be set in the Star Wars universe. A bunch of anime directors doing their own standalone shorts in the Star Wars universe, which seems super amazing to me, and I look forward to that a lot.
Well, real quick, we should run it down.
Yeah. What else
we
have? Andor, the Cassian Andor show, which is trying to be a prequel to Rogue One, and we will likely see K2SO and Mon Mothma. And then the Obi-Wan Kenobi limited series with Ian McGregor coming back.
Oh, my God.
And Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader.
Which, honestly, I'm fine with. Hayden Christensen isn't a bad actor.
No,
George Lucas is a bad director. So
he was a good actor. He did a good job playing Anakin. I am super excited to see him in the fucking armor. Like, oh, man.
Everything they've shown us that takes place after the prequels, as far as like the comics with Darth Vader, have been fucking amazing. And I'm very excited to see more of Vader in that time period because it's tragic. There's The Acolyte on Disney Plus, which is takes place during the High Republic.
That's the one
which is hundreds or thousands of years ago. And that is something that a time period Disney's exploring in a bunch of novels and comics and stuff coming out this year. Rogue Squadron.
Yes.
Hey.
That looks so good.
Directed by Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
Did you watch that little trailer thing?
I did not watch the trailer.
That'll make you cry. Because it's Patty Jenkins, like, strapping on an X-Wing flight suit as she talks about being raised on Air Force bases
by
her fighter pilot father.
Mm.
And how all she's ever wanted to do was make the world's best dog fighter pilot movie, and now she gets to do that in bonus at Star Wars.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool.
And then we know Taika Waititi is directing a movie, but we don't know shit about it. And then A Droid Story?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. That's probably got my least excited vote.
It should be Bad Batch.
Because because R2-D2 and C-3PO are always kind of like, you know, I know that, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, after the first movie, after Star Wars, R2-D2 and C-3PO have always been kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess they got to be there. I'm sorry to people who love R2-D2 and C-3PO, but that's...
It's fine. And we know Rian Johnson is getting his own Star Wars trilogy from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has not explored.
Well, that's exciting.
So it's new. It's all new Star Wars.
That could be anything.
With Rian Johnson, which is exciting. An untitled Kevin Feige movie. Mm-hmm. He's going to direct a movie. Nobody knows shit about it.
Yeah.
But he's a diehard Star Wars fan. And
he's done a great job with Marvel stuff.
And then it's all rumors from there.
We don't know. That's very exciting.
It's a little bit less concrete than the Marvel stuff, but a lot of this is newer announced stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really cool stuff in the Star Wars universe coming. So, I mean, and it's not all going to be great, but it's kind of great. It's all happening.
Right. Fucking 30 years ago, there was never going to be any more Star Wars. Right.
Right. Like, and now there's so much Star Wars.
There's so much. Yeah.
It's a good time to be a geek.
Really be is. Happy, fanboy Star Wars dudes.
The Disney Plus shit is fucking paying for itself. I mean, it's like people were like, oh, you know, I got it for Mandalorian, but all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of reasons to have that.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna toss in really quick, outside of Star Wars and Marvel, they also announced there's going to be a Willow series for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
With the original actor returning.
Yep, with the original actor. Wallace Shawn is going to return. Not Wallace Shawn.
Not Wallace Shawn. Yeah,
that would be amazing. That's a dude from Princess Bride. I would watch Wallace Shawn's Willow. You fucking don't want to classic blunders. All right. There's also going to be a Baymax series.
Yeah.
And a Zootopia series and a Tiana series and a Moana series coming to Disney
Plus. I hope the Zootopia series is all about everybody quitting the Force. they got defunded and now what?
and then they announced another Indiana Jones movie too.
They did. Indiana Jones 5.
With Harrison Ford
returning, and they're going to fucking Han Solo his ass. He's dying in this one.
I love about this is that long ago, Harrison Ford was a fucking asshole, and he said that he hated Han Solo, and he hated Indiana Jones because that's all anybody ever saw him as. And he's done all these serious movies, and guess what? Guess what he came back to? He even was like, I'll never do those again. I'm more than that. Like, man, bitch, you better not say that stuff in print. Keep that to the dinner parties, friendo.
Yeah. I love Indiana Jones, but I'm hoping they've got some way to make it younger that doesn't involve Shia LaBeouf. So,
I love that cartoon. Him. Maybe they could...
Especially after the latest news about Shia LaBeouf being an extra dick face. I'm good on him. But I'd be down for a young Indiana Jones series. That was great.
That was a good show. I liked it a lot.
So... Oh boy, there was so much to talk about there, but we've got to move along to five questions.
Quick answers.
Molly, who do we have questions from?
We've got five very introspective questions from Bob Alberti, friend of the show.
Thanks, right. Bob.
Let's kick it off.
All right, question one. What's the earliest thing you can recall from your childhood? And I'll go first because mine is very short. I don't really remember anything before I'm about 9. Except for some vague impressions of things. And I remember I had this lamp that was a cast iron stove. And so it was like this little miniature stove, and it had a little door, and then it had like removable plates where there would have been fire underneath, and a little tiny pan that sat on the lamp. But then also it had like a lamp attachment. And it, in hindsight, I bet that thing weighed 30 pounds and probably could have killed me if it had ever fallen on me. Like hit me in the right way, but I played with it endlessly. It was on a very low dresser that I could reach when I was a little kid. I don't remember anything else. Child. Other than that, the earliest thing I really remember is breaking my arm when I was in 3rd grade. So,
you'll remember that.
Yeah.
I remember being a child of maybe like 4 or 5 or something in my grandparents', kind of finished basement in like rural Hanover, Minnesota, where my grandfather was a pastor, and playing there with a cousin, including the time I threw a block at her and got in trouble.
Sure.
That's kind of, vaguely remember playing in that basement.
In the basement, getting in trouble. All right, Tim?
I remember it was 3 or 4, and my family was living in a commune. I actually remember a lot of things.
Oh.
Yeah, hippy dippy commune. It was the 70s. And I remember that I was in a bunk bed. We slept in bunk beds, my brother and I. I was on the top bunk, and I remember waking up on the floor because I had fallen out of the bunk bed with like everybody in the house freaking out because I'd fallen out of the bunk bed. I didn't even remember it, and I remember that was the first of 2 nights that I've ever spent in the hospital because they took me to the hospital.
Yeah.
Not counting when I was like right when I was born, but like
if you woke up with everyone in the house around you, you'd been out for a while.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. I don't even remember any pain. I don't remember it hurting.
Yeah.
I just remember waking up and everybody's like, there's the kid on the floor, and I spent a night in the hospital. I remember
all
that.
Right. Question two. What's one of your happiest memories? Happiest memories. Honestly, like it might sound trite, but the 2 times Nick and I have gone to Disney World and been there for like more than the 1 day we were there that time, but like actually spent a trip to Disney World, but probably this last one, which I will admit is compounded by the fact that it was like February 2020 and we went on this week-long trip, and it was so amazing and it was so magical and everything was perfect. Like everything went well. I didn't have any stomach problems. Like everything we wanted, we got
no
to
blisters,
do.
No,
we, none of us got blisters. Like there wasn't any sunburn. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And then like we came home and the world fell apart. So like I think that might be part of, but that honestly really is one of my happiest memories. Just being like super happy and knowing everything was taken care of. Everyone was good. Like for like a week, we just were able to really dissolve into it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I remember, I have a lot of really cool memories, but I think one of the happiest memories is like the Sunday of Convergence 1999. So the first one, after we'd spent 2 years trying to make a convention happen, and Ishmael Williams is like, I just want to talk to everybody for a minute. And he brought all the board members into a room, and we're all like, shit, what the fuck's going on? And he's like, no, I just thought we all ought to get together for like 5 minutes and go, holy fuck, look at what we just did.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. Just all of us sitting there and going, we made it happen. This is so great.
That's awesome.
Not that it was just seven of us, but it was seven of us that started it.
Yeah, it was like
that moment of just going, hot damn, we pulled this shit together and we made a convention. So that was a great moment. That's great memory.
That's a good one.
I think the year I tried out for Vilification Tennis and I won the amateur show that year, and I'm not just saying this because these are questions for Bob, but it does help. But no, I that is just like...
And then we started Fest that year,
The biggest endorphin rush of all time. Mm-hmm. And that was, what led to us being out of the Renaissance Festival and this podcast and a number of other things.
All sorts of shit.
But that was like a major turning point in our lives.
It's true. If you hadn't gotten into Ville, this podcast wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have worked out at Fest. I wouldn't have gotten into Ville.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have tried out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the only reason I tried out was you were in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, like, all of that, none of that would have happened except for you trying out and getting in. It was pretty amazing.
That's definitely it, though. It's one of the happiest.
All right, question three.
Yeah.
What's one of your real fears? Not merely spiders. Okay, you two think of, I got to take issue with this. Bob, listen to me. Merely spiders makes it sound like I'm just like, oh my God, ew. I have to explain something. I have a paralyzing fear. So this summer, it was late summer and friend of the show, Nate, was still living here. And I came in from walking the dog, and I like to wear these big kind of poofy skirts in the summer. And I came in from walking the dog, and I had unclipped her leash, and I felt something like on my leg, like one of my hairs or something. And I looked down, and there was the biggest spider I've ever seen in real life, crawling up my skirt.
Oh man.
And I screamed, and I flicked my skirt and got it on the ground and stomped on it screaming. I screamed so loud that Nate came running down, like he was genuinely thought I was hurt. I went into what I can only describe as a dissociative state because I don't really remember it. I was apparently walking around the house going, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, over and over, and like clapping my hands and like shaking my head and stuff. I don't remember any of this. And then I started crying. And I couldn't get rid, I was shaking probably for the next hour. And every time I went outside of the house, I was checking my clothes for spiders for the next like week. So like, I'm gonna say spiders. And it's not merely spiders. I'm genuinely not really afraid of anything else, including existential stuff. Like, that is my biggest fear. And maybe it sounds trite, but it is genuinely something I can't control. And I feel like almost anything else in life, I can't control in a way that I can't be afraid of it, like cancer, you know, I can control in a way that I can do something about it, like money. So
it's for anyone that wants to do a Google image search, it was a Fisher spider. I was able to identify it from the body. Go ahead and look
at me describing what I saw.
It's literally the biggest spider in Minnesota, or it can be. So,
wow.
Yeah. And it had been on me for blocks.
So we don't need to talk about it anymore. We're
please
good.
Let's
You're
not.
Good. I think one of my biggest fears is, as far as like an existential fear, is being left behind and or excluded in a way that is kind of like being left behind. Like if you're like with a whole bunch of friends doing something and everyone else was like, cool, well, we're going to go see this thing and go do this thing, Nick. Bye.
Or they forgot like, you're in the bathroom.
Or forgot I was in the bathroom. Yeah. That specifically. And like when it happens, I'm cool with it and it's not a big deal because, you know, I can manage my shit and it's usually not an intentional malicious thing. But that looming nonsensical existential fear is certainly up there for me.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I see your point, Molly, because, you know, I have mentioned on this podcast before, I'm afraid of fish, and it's not like a bullshit, whatever, he's afraid of fish. It's like, no, it prevents me from doing things that I want to do. It prevents
like,
me from enjoying.
Can you just think about fish and get scared?
Yeah, but I won't go swimming in lakes. It prevents me from going walking on a shoreline without being constantly conscious of my surroundings in case there's a dead fish on the shore.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
but
you're not even afraid of a live fish. It's all the fish.
All of them. all of the fish, live, dead, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it is.
You eat fish, right?
No, I don't. But it's not because I'm afraid of them. It's because they're disgusting. But if we're gonna go with the spirit of Bob's question, I guess sure. As I've been thinking about it, I do a ton of performing. I'm surrounded by a whole lot of super talented people, and I wouldn't call it imposter syndrome, but I'm always afraid that I'm not going to do the best for the other people that are around me, and that I'm going to make them look bad because I'm not stepping up to their level.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all.
Honestly, if we're talking existential fears, the only existential fear I have is Nick dying.
Mm.
That's really it. That's really the biggest fear I have is Nick dying young and me having to deal.
It's too late for me to die young.
Ha. No, that's right. Really, that's in that sense. In the spirit of Bob's question, sure. Yes.
Okay.
I'm way more afraid of spiders than I am of Nick dying. Okay. What's one of the things you like most about yourself? This is question 4. What's one of the things you like most about yourself?
I am clever. And it's specifically when it comes to problem solving or maybe kind of somewhat outside of the box solutioneering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily like an intelligence thing, but it's just like a solving a puzzle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is where my strengths lie, and it aids me greatly professionally, personally, and in my hobbies.
Tim, what about you? What do you like about yourself?
I'm really good at starting stuff.
You are.
I'm really good at going.
Very true.
Hey, I've got an idea. Who can I make this happen with?
You have a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, I have a lot of good ideas.
You really do.
So, yeah, I like that. I like coming up with new shit to try.
Yeah. So. I like my sense of style. I like my personal sense of style. I like the clothes I choose. I like the color palettes I choose. I think the things I wear accentuate my inherent cuteness, and I don't know. I'm never going to be glamorous, and I made my peace with not being sexy a long time ago. So, like, I lean into the cute, quirky factor, and I've always liked that about myself.
You have a wide variety of styles, but they all share a kind of cohesive.
Yeah,
style.
I feel like if you found my clothes, you would know if they were Molly's clothes or not.
Yeah.
Like if you saw a pile of clothes, you'd be like, oh, those are Molly's
clothes.
Are Molly's. Like,
yeah.
All right, finally, question 5. What's one of your greatest disappointments? And he didn't specify if it needs to be personal or ethereal or whatever. So I'm just going to leave that open. What's one of your greatest disappointments?
I've been thinking about this since before we started.
I am continually disappointed with Stephen King adaptations, to be honest. Like, I feel like there's so much there to make like a good movie or show. And every single time I see one, they fall somewhere. Like so, even with It, the first movie was so good. The second movie was so bad. Like it just fell apart, right? Like, and it just, maybe that's because the books are bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm the crazy person, but like, I guess I'm super disappointed. And I'll even maybe just say like adaptations in general. I feel like a lot of times I see adaptations and they just tend to, it's like the person read a different book than I did. You know, or a different comic. Like Preacher was terrible.
That's a great thing. Now I'm going to go do my own thing.
Yeah, like Preacher was terrible. Stephen King is a good example because most of his adaptations are bad. But like there's been a lot of adaptations lately where I was so fucking excited because the casting seemed good and the director is good. And then you get there and you see it and you're just like, what are you even doing? What is this? Like these aren't even the same characters. So I'm just going to go with the pop culture answer and say adaptations of things I love keep just getting shit upon.
All right, Nick.
I am continually and constantly disappointed in the lack of empathy and caring people have for their fellow human beings.
Yeah.
And I would say if we wanted to get more specific than that, how that comes through in their voting, political leanings, and just the politicians that they will support or insult, and just how it's people are so incapable of having some fucking empathy for other people and saying, like, you know what? I had it bad, but maybe other people don't have to have it as bad as I did. Yeah. Maybe we can do better for them.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. It is, like, so fucking disappointing that it seems like such a simple and easy thing for a person to have.
Yeah.
And so many people so obviously have no fucking empathy. It is mind-boggling.
It's like, how did you get raised to not give a shit about anybody else?
Yeah,
It's
a bunch of fucking sociopaths.
All right, Tim, take us home. What's your greatest disappointment?
Boy, you know, since Nick went super big and Molly, I'm just gonna say the Matrix trilogies, the Matrix, the Matrix sequels, the Matrix. Because damn, that was a great movie, and the sequels are just horseshit.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand.
So cool.
They could have been so cool. I don't understand for a moment how they were like, this is the direction that's gonna make this really awesome.
Yeah.
Instead of what they did.
Are you excited for the fourth one that they're going to do?
I mean, cautiously.
Yeah.
You know? I want to be.
I feel like the Wachowskis have grown as people, and I'm excited to see what they do.
What's really telling is that you know, out of all that you did not say Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, but that the Matrix sequels were so disappointing, they were worse than the movie that ruined your favorite, like, IP.
The reason I will never say Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is because they brought back Marion, which they never should have, gotten rid of in the first place. And so that piece redeems that movie.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. So we have been Geeks Without God. Thank you, Bob, so much for your questions.
Yay!
Thank you, Bob.
If you have questions that you want us to answer, there's no question too big, no question too small, no question too petty.
In fact, a big question could get answered in a petty way. Look at
it's
me.
It's true. We'll do it. Send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. That's 5 or 5, however you want to do it.
you dummy.
And then otherwise, if you're a patron of our podcast, we'll bump your questions to the top of the queue. If you're a patron, you also get to listen to episodes early.
And you might see our beautiful faces.
And look at us right now.
A month, you'll get some video of our podcast if you'd like to see a glimpse into our mundane lives.
For as long as we have to record at home.
Yeah, at least. And then,
which will probably be at least another 6 months. Hooray!
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Otherwise, if you are is particularly excited about something that was announced by Disney for Marvel or Star Wars or something else, we'd love to hear about it. Leave us a comment on Facebook or on Twitter or the website, wherever you want. Just let us know what you're psyched for and why. We want to talk about it. There's a lot to talk about. It's great. Otherwise, we are Geeks Without God, and we have a new episode up every Tuesday for almost the last
forever
fucking years.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Next up, Disney announces 10 new series set in the world of the Aristocats.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
Molly will be right back after these messages.